People along this part of the border used to complain about the old fence that separated them, but they had no idea what would replace it. Carlos Herrera teaches history in Calexico, California.
The old chain link fence was falling apart in some places, and in some places there was a lot of holes that people had cut into the fence to be able to cross more easily.
Carlos and Armando Rascon, an artist, are cousins. They grew up together on the U.S. side.
I recall the period of time before fences, and then came the fences, and then the fences that I recall from my childhood when we used to play football up and down there, and sometimes the football would end up in Mexico, and then we were at the mercy of children in Mexico to kick the ball back over the fence.
I spoke with Carlos and Armando about the new fence that separates the two communities.
You have to think Mexicali has close to 2 million inhabitants, and this major neighborhood is very working class. There are churches there, there are discos, there's schools, and there's children, there's people selling popsicles up and down the street and that sort of thing. It's very sort of active. And there was a chain link fence and you could see right through it.
No one asked residents on either side about having a new fence. It went up in a matter of weeks and is made from corrugated metal landing pads left over from the Gulf War. The fence completely blocks the line of sight that used to exist between the communities. It's an aesthetic disaster.
It's just an ugly, dark brown color in some places. In some places it's rusted over, and in other places it's just this dark grayish green type of drab color.
Outraged residents on the U.S. side formed an arts commission. They hired Armando Rascon to create a mural design to paint on both sides of the fence in what became known as the Binational Mural Project. It would be 2 miles of painting on each side of the fence, 4 miles total, one of the largest public art projects in the history of the Southwest. Armando wanted to remind people of their heritage, and he wanted to restore a sense of interaction at the border.
They wanted a project that allowed anybody access to paint their 7-year-olds to 70-year-olds, and therefore the design needed to be very minimal so that nobody could go there and go, oh, I don't know how to paint.
So he chose an image from the Olmecs, the 3,000-year-old mother culture of North America that predates the famous Aztecs. The design is from the crown of the Olmec god of communication, a circle with triangles radiating out from it on either side. It's an all-seeing iris painted over and over along the corrugated metal fence on the U.S. side.
And I had noticed a profile of a ruler or of a god in which the eye could then be turned into a serial imagery that would span across the landscape for 2 miles. And so it culminates looking like a friendship bracelet upon the landscape with the eye portion duplicating itself endlessly. And the colors are the colors of the two flags, red, white, and blue, red, white, and green. We've substituted the white with yellow, which for the ancients is a healing color.
On the U.S. side, the border zone is a kind of no man's land, cleared of vegetation and lit at night with bright halogen lights. Nearly 2,000 volunteers, mainly from the U.S., painted the fence during the 3-year project in a valley where temperatures can reach 120 degrees.
Sometimes it was just Armando and myself that were out here early in the morning before the sun came out, and you could hear the wind in the trees. And one of the most fascinating sounds was, of course, on the other side of the fence. We could not see them, but we could hear the people from Mexicali waking up and beginning their days. And sometimes you literally would hear the roosters that they have in their backyards waking everybody up. Once in a while, we would actually get to smell the food that they were cooking. And of course, Armando and I'd be out here at 4:35 in the morning, and we had not had breakfast. So it was like, wow, we wish we were on the other side of the fence, but that didn't happen.
To kick off the project, dignitaries from Mexico had come over to paint the first brushstrokes on the U.S. side of the fence. The city governments encouraged residents from Mexico to cross to the U.S. side to paint. They came until they lost the heart to do it, because this same fence was killing illegal aliens. To get around it and into the U.S., Mexicans were walking deep into the rugged desert and dying from exposure. As they began to die, crosses appeared at the U.S.-Mexico border, and Mexicali residents stopped coming to paint. Plans to paint the Mexican side of the fence never moved forward.
The way I understand it is that there was a change in government a few years into the project, and then the priorities changed. Political priorities changed.
It seems that not painting the Mexican side of the fence had become a form of protest in itself, just as painting the fence had been on the U.S. side. I crossed over the border into Mexicali to talk to people about the fence and the mural project. It's dusty near the fence, with neighborhoods built right up next to it. Residents sometimes burn trash in their backyards, melting the mural on the U.S. side. Ermina Ramirez, a resident of Colonia Santa Clara, a poor neighborhood just feet from the fence, said this.
No me gusta.
I liked the old fence more than this one, because this one makes me feel locked in, and I can't see across the fence either. Ramirez had never seen the mural on the U.S. side, but her son had and described it to her as ugly.
My name is Luis Alberto Scott Jaramillo.
Scott Jaramillo is the son of an African-American from Mississippi and a Mexican woman. He had never seen the mural either and wished that he could still see across the fence. I asked him what he would like to see painted on the Mexican side.
I wonder if it's possible to paint the Mexicali side of the fence with the colors of the Mexican flag, which would be red, green, and white. I would really like that. The fence would look really pretty if they did that.
Wherever I went, no one had seen the mural and few people cared about it. They just missed having a window to their friends and family on the U.S. side. I asked Carlos what he would think if the fence came down one day.
We never really considered the mural to be a permanent thing. It's a statement, it's a message. The main thing was to get people to start communicating about the history of this place, the history of this space, the culture that is shared between the communities, and why that is important to both sides of the border.
For Studio 360, I'm Polly Svida.
Polly Svida is a reporter for KPBS in San Diego. You can see pictures of the Calexico-Mexicali wall at studio360.org.